Well, hello, all you bright beacons of joy. My name is Stefan Satani, and welcome to a Comedy Advice Podcast. I'm coming at you, delivering a little bit of an appetizer before we get into the main course. I've got a glorious guest for you guys today. It's a real special treat. The amazing Aisha Alpha. She's a comedian, she's an actor, she's a host, she was a professional soccer player, she even played Gaelic football. This woman is a bright ball of energy and positivity. So I really enjoyed talking with her. We talked about her special, we talked about just life in general and being a nice person and the value of that. And I thoroughly enjoyed this interview and the advice that we gave, cracking up throughout the whole thing. And I think you guys will too. Aisha is an amazing person. And if you guys want to support her, I have links to the show notes for her new special, All the Parts, not just some of the parts, all the parts. So you guys can see that on YouTube for free, or I've also got links to Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, wherever you guys are listening. It's there. And then check out the Shout Out Show with Aisha and her co-hosts Sophia Zolan and Winter Spears every Thursday, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time. It is awesome. I think I was talking about it on the show too, but it is really refreshing to have such positivity. So go check that out every Thursday. It's on YouTube. And I have the link there to the show notes too. Other than that, go follow her, support her, listen to her album, all that fun jazz. You will not regret it. And one more thing, if this is your first time, welcome. Stay a while, get comfy. If this is your second time, thank you for coming back. If you've been here all 168 episodes, wow, what are you doing with your life? No, but just kidding. Sincerely, thank you so much to everybody that's listened. It really means a lot to me. I love the outpouring of support that you guys have been doing through reviews or supporting on Patreon. If you guys are wondering how you can support me, in the show notes, there's a link to Patreon where you can pay as little as 2 cents a day and you can get access to early release episodes, ad-free content, and bonus content depending on the tier you get. So patreon.com/acomedyadvicepodcast. It's also in the show notes. You just click on over there. But if you don't want to pay, but you still want to say thank you and show your support, that's totally fine. Share, subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Podchaser, wherever you're listening, there's usually a way to leave a review. Subscribe, share, and you know, let me know that you're listening and having a good time too. So thank you guys. It really means a lot that you're listening. From the bottom of my heart, I love what I'm doing, and all of your support is helping make this a better podcast. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. All right, before I get emotional, I'm just going to stop talking, keep all my emotions inside, and let you guys listen to the episode. Et voila.
A comedy advice podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy advice podcast.
Oh, so sorry.
You're fine. It's my fault.
Aisha, I saw your email and I was like, okay, 5 minutes. I'm just going to run to the restroom and come back.
No worries.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am splendid. Things are going great.
Splendid. Don't hear that very often. I'm like,
I know. It's very, very Mormon of me. I'm not Mormon, but I just.
Oh, I was like, oh, interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Do you pronounce it Stefan or Steven?
Stefan.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just like, there's Stefan, there's Stefan, there's Steven. There's just so many spellings. And I like when people say my name right. So I want to say it right.
I really appreciate that. And I'm thinking of actually changing my name, the spelling on Instagram and on my emails and stuff, because I get Steven a lot. And
right.
A lot of people aren't as considerate as you, where they ask if it's Steven or Stefan. So I get Steven a lot. And
were you thinking of changing to an F instead of a PH?
Yeah. I'm thinking of spicing it up even a little bit more, like an O, so it'll be Stefan, because I loved Family Matters, and when he went from Steve to Stefan, I'm hoping maybe I can get a little more suave, but...
There you go.
Yeah, but I will talk about this a little bit when we talk about your special, but I had to practice, because I don't know why, but my mind kept thinking Aisha, so I was like,
Aisha.
I think my wife thought I was cheating on her or something, because I was saying it throughout the day.
Who is Aisha, bitch?
I was washing dishes and I'm like, Aisha. And she's like, what are you doing?
People, I mean, there's so many Aishas. Like Aisha Tyler, I did an episode of Criminal Minds and Aisha Tyler was on it, but she was also directing it. Mm-hmm. And people on set were just like, Aisha. And I was like, just call me Alpha. That'll be easier. Just go by my last name. Because yeah, there's a lot of, and she spells it the exact same way I do. So yeah, but Aisha, thank you for saying it right.
Oh, absolutely. It's the least I could do is get your name right. But I also Googled what it meant in Arabic, because I know that on the special you said that, I'll tease it. For those of you guys that are listening that haven't seen the special yet, listen to the special and you'll get the full bit. But the meaning in Arabic is also very nice too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like also, so my family in Nigeria is all Muslim. Uh-huh. And so it's the second wife of the Prophet Muhammad, and it was his favorite wife. So obviously I'm stoked about that. And it's great, the way that my family's culture works. You don't get to choose your kid's name just sort of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. The grandparents choose names to put in a pool, and then you choose from those names that they've offered. And my mom loved the name Aisha and really wanted, my mom's the Canadian one.
Yeah, yeah.
So she really wanted to name me that. And then that happened to be one of the names that was in, that was offered as a name. So it was kind of the, like a meant to be type feel.
That is really cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. Also, when you said pool, I thought they threw a bunch of pieces of paper in a pool and then somebody dove in and picked out the right one.
Whatever sticks to your face when you come out, that's what... Throw the baby in, whatever goes on the baby. That's what the kid is named.
That would be a nice tradition. I like that.
It's a terrifying, like, throw a baby in a pool tradition.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Comedy Advice Podcast, where we give self-help to the helpless. My name is Stefan Sitani, and I'm your host. Joining me today is a glorious guest. Absolutely amazing. She's an international comedian, host, and actor. She's been seen on shows like Criminal Minds, Degrassi Next Class, and has done stand-up at venues and comedy festivals all over the world. Her debut album, All the Parts, is out now. Everybody, please welcome Aisha Alpha.
Hello, everybody. Woo. Yay. Thanks for having me on. This is so great.
Oh, thank you for joining. I am pleased as punch to have you on.
Oh my God. Everything you're saying to me is just amazing. You said you were doing splendid. Now you're pleased as punch. I wrote down on a piece of paper, splendid, because I want to remember. Ooh, a good word. I want to use that word soon. Splendid. Pleased as punch.
I've been trying to get a little more dynamic in my vocabulary because I always say I'm doing good and I'm trying to mix it up on the podcast. So I do well. And then I'm like, okay, splendid. I'm doing, I use glorious guest because I always use special guest. And then it kind of denigrates the meaning of special. So I wanted to have a unique adjective and you are glorious. And
thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these lights beside my head just flashing. This is glory happening right here.
It's like an angelic glow. I really like it. Yeah. It's really nice lighting. But I am so pleased to have you on. I just finished watching your special, All the Parts, which I wanted to talk about. I know there's a whole lot of other things that you do, which are awesome, but wanted to talk a little bit about that. All the Parts. I was wondering as I was watching it, okay, why is it called All the Parts? And then bam, it hit.
At the end, I hit you with it. But you know, I mean, it is the title track is the last joke and it's my favorite joke on the album. But also it was a little bit of like, this album is all the parts of me because I've been doing comedy for 10 years now. And I actually tried to make an album, this is like two other times, and one time all the audio got lost, and that was about 5 years ago.
No.
Yeah, it was like a little bit off, and then the file was just totally corrupt and was gone.
You didn't want to try doing it like a Charlie Chaplin silent movie where...
Right, yeah. You've seen me, it would just be like a gremlin like hunched over the whole time, no sound, which nobody needs. But and then the second time I booked a big gig that I had to cancel everything, so I had to cancel my taping date. And then that gig fell through, so I had canceled it for nothing in the end. So when this one came around, it was like, you know, it was basically like 5 years of trying to make it happen, trying to make the album and the special happen. And finally, and you know, the first time I did it, I was single and had just moved from Canada to LA. The second time when I was trying to do it, I was pregnant. And then when I finally did it, I had had my kid. And so it was like, you know, I really had come a long ways from where I started, figuratively and literally. So the all the parts thing was really a nod as well to this album talks about all the different stages of my life up until I put the special out. And it was, and then that last joke just happened to perfectly kind of put a button on the whole thing. So,
that is, dare I say, genius. That's brilliant. I do really like it. And I didn't think about it until you started to say it. So it makes it even better. But I it really is, once you think about it, about all the parts you talk about, how your parents met, where you were born, living in Canada and then coming to America, and then having your child. It's really a lot of information about your life, and then with that refreshing comic twist on all of it. So it was really good. I loved all of it. My favorite joke besides all the parts, I also have to thank you, because I feel less jealous now if my wife ever decides to go see Thunder Down Under.
Oh yeah, you're fine. You're absolutely fine.
You're so good at painting the picture too of, I could just totally imagine the guys like 4'11", ponytail, slick back, but still a cross-eyed, an extra ab. It's just,
I often think, like, cause you know, when I'm telling jokes, I'm describing that as one person, but it was sort of like, I'm Frankensteining many guys who were there dancing. And it is, it's a great show. It really is. I always think, I'm like, is Thunder from Down Under going to be like, we're suing you for slander, calling all of our guys like weirdo little girls. But it was a fun time, but I think it's like that in general. Like when you go to male strippers, it's not because you're like, ooh, I want to get turned on. You're like going with your girls for a fun night out and it's ridiculous. Yeah. But when guys go to female strippers, I feel like there's some creepos who are just like, she's in love with me and she really wants to make babies with me, like giving money. And you're like, those are two very different experiences.
Yes. I remember when I was in college, I had a friend that caught the stripper bug, which sounds like an STD, but it's equally as bad.
It could be. Yeah.
Where he was just like, bro, let's go to the strip clubs. And I was 18. So I went once or twice. And then I was like, this is kind of draining my wallet and soul. So I don't think I want to go to these things anymore.
You got to go with women, because I've gone to the strip club many times and I enjoy male strippers. I enjoy female strippers. I enjoy the whole thing, but it's got to be like an activity and less of, I'm trying to find my soulmate and Destiny really needs money to feed her kids and like get through college. I'm like, you just got to go and have fun. I often end up asking a lot of the dancers, I'm like, how do you get your skin so smooth? Like, what do you wax? Do you sugar? What is it? You know, it's like those real like connecting things, but it's never about the sexual stuff. That's why I think guys are going the wrong way about it. It's way more fun if you just go with a bunch of people, have a fun time, spend some money, have some drinks, you know?
I like that. You know, you can go to a movie by yourself and you feel a little bit empowered, but if you go to a strip club by yourself, that's the total opposite. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was also going to mention one of my favorite jokes besides the ending joke was about men in sex are kind of like racehorses. And then I thought that was a beautiful, it was a beautiful kind of comparison, and it had me laughing. But then what I thought was really awesome was you continued to tell us the story by talking about the older horses or some horses turning around. And I just have to ask, because I thought it was brilliant. How do you come up with these juxtapositions when you're writing? Is it just like, oh, men doing sex are like dolphins? Nope, that doesn't work. They're like trains. No, that doesn't work. And you just go down a list? Or do you just...
It's interesting because people sometimes ask, like, how do you write? And the answer is, I don't really know, because I never actually sit down and write jokes out. Like, I don't have any of my jokes written out. Mm-hmm. All of my notebooks are just weird, like cryptic one line descriptions of the thought I want to talk about. Another thing, never look at a comedian's notebook, because it just like, you're like, they're for sure a serial killer. Like that's 100% what these writings are about. Right. And you're like, no, it's just my joke list. But it's like, I think, I mean, a lot of this, part of what's hard for me during COVID and this lockdown and just doing shows on Zoom is that a lot of my stuff is premises that I go onto stage and I talk out. So I talk it out. There's a tag. it hits, so I keep it. And then the next time I talk it out and use that tag, and then something else comes up and I keep it. And so it kind of grows from there. And a lot of my jokes that start off being a 30-second joke, by the end, when I've really fleshed out the idea, end up being 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes long. But it's not, I rarely am like doing the Seinfeld precision, this word works, I used it 3 times, it worked, and this word didn't. I'm so bad at that. I cannot tell the same joke exactly the same 2 times in a row. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that basically I spew a bunch of bullshit until someone laughs. And I'm like, okay, cool, keep that one piece and then get rid of the rest. And then I just continue to do that. So that's why, like, right now doing Zoom shows where there's no audience laughter and you don't have that same kind of interaction feeling the audience is really, I'm trying to like learn how to tell jokes again in a different way because I don't know, like I can't just talk it out and blabber away and then get a sense of what works necessarily. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that sounded pretty funny to me or that was fun. But I need to see the grumpy guy in the front going, or like the woman being like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, sister. Like I need that as a performer. I love that part of live performance.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I feel like doing Zoom shows has got to be totally awkward where you don't get that laughter, where I tip my hat to all comedians where it just seems like every 15 seconds you're asking for validation through laughter. Just through the dynamic of
it sounds so sad, doesn't it?
It does. I when I was thinking it, I was like, should I say this? This sounds depressing.
No, it's true. I mean, like we aren't. Like I think comedians, I don't know. I'll speak for myself. I thrive on being sort of the center of attention with a group. That's where I'm the most comfortable. Yes. I'm really awkward. If someone's like, let's go for coffee and I don't know them, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to talk one-on-one with anybody. Like, I don't answer the phone. I don't talk on the phone because I hate being one-on-one so much with people that I'm not like that. I don't have that instant sort of like, it's my sister or my brother kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, I thrive on being up on a stage and people looking and I'm able to interact. I'm good at reading an audience. I'm good at that. But yeah, it's literally like, if I'm saying something and there's no laughter, even if they're enjoying themselves and I can see that, I start to get that like stinky stress sweat. And I'm like, oh my God, make them laugh or you're nothing, you know? And it's just not true. And that's what like kind of screws with you, because when you have a good show, you feel like it's like an orgasm and cocaine and like delicious ice cream all at the same time, you know? And you're on this high. And then when you have a bad show, it's the worst feeling because you start to think like, who am I? What am I doing with my life? What is the meaning of life? Like, it's crazy that the peaks and the meadows.
I like meadows. That's nice. Yeah.
It's just a nuts thing, but it really is. I don't know if we're seeking validation, but we're seeking like, do you get me? That's what I'm seeking all
the
time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Positive acknowledgement. Or understanding, I think.
Even if people are like, I don't like it, I'm like, great, let's talk about it. You know, like, I like that too. It's just, if someone just sat there and like looked at me, had no reaction and said nothing and then got up and left, I'd be like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I don't know. I need to know if they liked it or they didn't like it. And then I can deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh man. I remember doing stand up too. And I totally, to the points of the peaks and valleys or meadows. All in between. I remember I my first time I did this class, it was a 5-week class, and I was in the low points.
The
and I
low.
Was like, yeah, I was like talking to my wife and I told her, I don't know if I want to do this. This is tough. I was going and getting feedback and it was so awkward. And I'm telling these jokes and you expect a laughter. It just seems naturally, even people that might feel sorry for you will just be like, huh. But no. And then we do the showcase where it's like, you bring your friends and family and of course they're gonna laugh. So that felt so good. It was like that cocaine orgasm, you know, elated feeling. And it kept me back and I was like, I gotta do this again.
It pulls you back in, right?
Yeah.
Totally. It really does. It's like a magical thing though. It's a really magical thing to know that like I get to go on stage and just like tell my thoughts. No one can censor me for that time that I have on stage unless I do or say something so horrible that they just shut the lights off on me, you know, but you don't, it's like a place where you get to speak and you are heard whether people want to or not. They like you, that's a beautiful thing that not everybody gets in life.
Yeah. And going back to the special too, I had a question where I saw that you got brought on the stage by none other than Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that he did a little bit of stand-up before that.
Yeah.
How was it? How did you feel? Did you feel nervous at all performing after Bill Burr? Or you've been doing it for 10 years. You're just like, you know what? I got this. This is my stuff.
You know, I mean, like, I'm always nervous before I do comedy, no matter if it's like a backyard show in front of three people or like, you know, 15,000. Yeah. But I know Bill, like we're friends, you know, he's a big supporter. He is one of the owners of All Things Comedy who produced the special. Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh my God, Bill Burr opened for you. And I was like, no, like, no, that's not, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, Bill Burr, you know, came to show support and to lend his name as like a vouch for me. And so he was the one who started the night off. And then I was honored to be introduced by him and kept that in on the special because it was such a big deal for me to have Bill doing that. And you know, something that was really cool for me too was I grew up in Winnipeg in Canada and started my comedy career there and then moved to Toronto and then moved to LA. So everyone here always talks about me being a Toronto comedian, which I'm like, I think of myself always as a Winnipeg comedian, which is like my hometown. My guys are there like rooting for me. I'm rooting for them. And so, and Bill knows that. And he asked me before, he's like, you want me to say you're from Winnipeg, Canada, right? And I was like, yes, you get me, you understand. And so it was like a real full circle because when I did the first album, tried to record the first album and special, that was in Winnipeg when it all got kind of like the audio got screwed up.
Oh,
so it felt full circle to me to have Bill Burr, the one and only Bill Burr, announcing me and saying the words Winnipeg, Canada, and then my name. It was like, this is like literally, again, all the parts of my career kind of culminating in one night, which was so cool.
That is awesome. And it's so cool. I had not really heard Winnipeg that much before, but in a couple of days of doing the research, watching the special, watching your YouTube show with Alexa from Begonia from Winnipeg as well. I'm like, man, I got to go here. It seems like all these people are so positive, so nice, so cool.
Winnipeg's a really cool city in that it's you know, small-ish. There's less than 1 million people. There's like 750,000 or something. And it's the capital city of the big province of Manitoba. But it's in a place where it's sort of on its own. It's in prairies. There's nothing really around it.
Meadows too.
What's that? Meadows, many meadows. but it's very cold, like minus 40 cold in the winter and like 100 degrees in the summer. So it's like a very harsh place in a lot of ways. And so not a lot of people go there. It's not like a vacation place you would go to. But the community in Winnipeg is unbelievably supportive. There's a crazy good art scene in Winnipeg for music, for comedy, for visual arts, for dance. The Royal Winnipeg Ballet is like a training center that's known globally. The Winnipeg Folk Festival is an international festival that like people come from around the world for. The Winnipeg Comedy Festival, like the Jazz Festival. There's all this like this amazing art in Winnipeg, but it's small. So people leave and go other places to kind of get their name. And then, but we're always like proud Winnipeggers where we're like, I'm from Winnipeg. I represent the 204. I'm a pegger, Peg City, like full on, because it's just like everyone there is rooting for you. It's awesome. It's a great city.
That's even the name to me sounds sophisticated, like Winnipeg. I love it.
Did you know that Winnie the Pooh is named after Winnipeg?
No, yes. I did not know this.
Story. Like just do this research. There was a bear and the kid who, whatever, A.A. Milne's like, you know, kid or whatever it was that he wrote the stories for, Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
They had gone through Winnipeg on some sort of like trip or something like that. And like the kid named the bear after Winnipeg.
Huh.
So weird, right? It's such a random, there's so many connections to Winnipeg it's like a weirdly connected, totally unknown, like amazing place. Highly recommend.
This podcast is brought to you by the Board of Tourism for Winnipeg.
Right? I think I should get paid. I'm like an ambassador for Winnipeg. I think Mayor Bowman of Winnipeg, you need to come and pay me to do this. I do this all the time for free because I love it.
I'll drop an affiliate link in the show notes so then people can go there. We get a cut. That's perfect. That's amazing. But I was also going to ask too, because I know that you said Winnipeg, that's where you started your comedy career. You seem to be good at everything that you do because you also were a soccer star in college you're an actor. I mean, how did this all happen where you started to find comedy and acting too, where you thought, oh, this is my thing. I want to do this.
Yeah. I mean, the first part of my life was I was an athlete. That's like what my life was. So I was a competitive gymnast first. Then I played team sports, and then I got into soccer and played in university, played overseas, played in a professional league in North America. Like, that was my life. And then I was living in South Korea and playing soccer on a men's league, and also playing Gaelic football, representing Korea in the Asian Gaelic Games.
Wait, what was it? Gaelic?
You know Gaelic football?
No, like Irish? Oh.
Yeah, Irish football.
Oh, no, I've never heard of Gaelic football.
A Nigerian Canadian goes to Korea and plays an Irish game.
There has to be a punchline to that. That is so cool, though.
I know, it's such a big, it's like, there's this whole other life I've lived, and people are like, what? And then, yeah. But I was doing all that, and I was feeling like totally, like, this is not actually fulfilling me deeply. Mm-hmm. And so I left my life, essentially, and traveled for a bit, and like took a French course in France and lived there for a bit, and then went back home and like moved back in with my parents into my parent, like our house in Winnipeg, into my childhood room. Oh, and like started from zero again, and like tried to figure out what I wanted to do, and became a certified professional life coach and worked for a huge bank, and like just did all these different things, was a wedding planner for a while.
Wow.
And then I had an opportunity to just, you know, try comedy through an acting class that I decided I wanted to take because I wanted to start getting into acting. And then I did comedy the first time and enjoyed it, and then sort of started doing it every once in a while, and then it just sort of picked up, and the acting stuff picked up at the same time, and like everything just shifted. Like I went from doing sort of corporate coaching for executives and like workshopping things and public speaking, to hosting an online lifestyle channel, to doing more of like hosting things with a comedic flair and doing stand-up shows, and then got the acting gigs came, and it just sort of, that sort of took over and pushed everything else out. And now, you know, I do stand-up comedy, I do acting, I write, and many other things. But like, those are the main, now that's just sort of the fullness of my career.
Wow. I know that I gave a prelude that this is a self-help podcast for the helpless, but I do want to ask, because I'm so curious. It seems like you found your passions and it led you to these amazing places. But I think there is also this either set of habits or something that you had inside of you that you've cultivated. Maybe some of it has come naturally as well. But I mean, you lived in different countries, played Gaelic football, you played sports that I didn't know exist, like Quidditch or whatever, but you learned French, you can do all these things. Is there something that you can tell our listeners where it's like, if they want to try something and actually get to a level where they can be good at it and decide if it's something that fulfills them, what's the secret ingredient? I know that's a million-dollar question, right? But
well, for me, I mean, I think everyone has to figure out what it is for them, but for me, legitimately, I would have to say I'm like competitive to a level that's unhealthy, and I'm very stubborn. So put those things together, and if they are on the right direction, then it leads you, and for me anyway, it led me to persevering and going after what I really wanted, and finding success in it. And I mean, you also have to be lucky, but like be prepared and be good at the thing you want to do, mm-hmm. In order to, I think, find like long-term success, right? But I am just,
right.
I'm just competitive. I want to be the best. This is one of the reasons why being a comedian is so hard, because you can never be the best and you're always going to feel like you're failing. So it's like this ongoing like hamster wheel of always trying to be better, trying to do more, and then like for me, I'm also trying to find some sort of balance of, you know, I have a husband, I have a kid, I can't just be going out all the time, every time. And also, even if I didn't have that, if I go out 7 nights a week from like 8 until 1 in the morning doing shows, I get burned out, and like I have to figure out how to do all that stuff. So it's like this ongoing, continual, relentless mm-hmm. trying to find the balance on how to be the best for that moment.
Oh, that's so smart, because I feel I'm on that page now, or that stage of my life, where I'm also trying to find the balance. I have a wife. We've been married happily for 7 years. I'm going to edit it out when I find the right amount of time that we've been married.
I like also how you said happily, like you've been married for 9, but happily.
I was going to say, yeah. 2 of the years were kind of rough, but we've been happily married for a while. I mean, you know, you have some rough times and everything, but we've been able to make it work, and we're loving hanging out in quarantine together. We both work from home, so it's really nice to see her when I walk out the door. The door of my my office. But
yeah, you walk out of your house and look through the window and wait back inside.
Hi, babe. So I was gonna say, finding that balance where I was trying podcasting and stand-up comedy, I ended up dedicating. I tried to see, okay, what's really important in my life, and then what do I have to sacrifice if I want to get really good at either podcasting or stand up. And I ended up deciding going with podcasting. I feel like part of it fulfills me a little bit more. I love stand up. It'll have a special place in my heart. I say we broke up because it's not the end of it. We might get back together, have some fun nights together, but it's not something that I'm actively pursuing. But I think that there is, and I've heard of the Pareto principle, where you can get 80% of value from 20% of the work, or it's the other, I forget which way. I really should remember that ratio, but essentially it's, you find what time you have and you try and make it as impactful as possible to be the best. And I feel like you, with finding the balance with your husband, your child, and everything, I feel
Now I'm forced to, because having a kid just changes things, where like, I don't have time to fuck around anymore. Like, I think now about like before I had a kid, and I'm like, what the hell was I doing with my time? Like, what did I do where I ever thought I was busy? Because it was all a bunch of lies. I was never busy. I was just a lazy piece of shit. and now I'm, and especially during quarantine, like my husband's working full time, but like full time plus, like he has a lot of work, like more work now than he's ever had. And we're both at home working. We have no childcare because now it's not safe to have childcare anymore. And so I have less time than I had, you know, 6 months ago. And everyone's like, well, I'm just writing and watching a bunch of Netflix things and all stuff. I'm like, I'm falling behind. Like, my relentless need to try and be the best at, you know, the best for me, the best version of myself.
Yes.
Like, I'm happy if I have a shower some days, you know, and then other days I'm super productive and it feels amazing. But like, I've had to learn how to forgive myself and to like let things be okay, because, oh boy, it's like, especially with social media now, I'm like, it's impossible to keep up with what everyone is doing. And I think when you are a person who wears many hats, where it's like, I do stand-up comedy and I also do acting and I also do writing, and I'm also a mom and I'm also a wife, and I'm trying to like create these deep friendships and like create, you know, some other things around the periphery as well. And I've got a show, and I've like, so I feel like there's not, when you compare yourself to somebody else, you're like, oh, but this person's doing stand up every night. I'm like, yeah, but they also don't have a kid and they don't do acting and they don't do and like this kind of stuff. And this mom's just like such a good mom and she's always got fun things she's doing with her kids. It's like, yeah, but she doesn't have to go out at night and do, like, it's like there's no one who has the same mix as you. And so comparison is just like the worst, but everyone does it all the time. Like, I'm just going to close this so you don't just look at my husband's.
Those are some pretty nice suits. I like that.
I know. He's a very well-dressed man, I will say. He's a very sexy man. So.
As you can see, I look like I'm coming from Hawaii. I've got.
Yeah, you just got off a cruise. You're like, you were stuck on one of the princess cruises or whatever that has been like on lockdown for the whole quarantine. And you're like, what's happening?
All my other clothes have been burned. It's just these floral button-ups. I also have to ask your opinion. So these are actually, I didn't want to show, but short sleeve. Living in Phoenix, Arizona with 115 degree weather. It's just forced me to degrade my fashion. When I lived in New York, I was a button-up guy. My wife hates polos. She thinks I look like an old man with polos.
Oh, I would have thought like a frat guy.
I mean, maybe that too. Yeah, I don't think I can get rid of that look.
Also, I don't know why I went frat guy. Like, I'm like, yum, yum, yum. Like, that's not the pinnacle of like men. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, no, it's all good. The polos, we threw those out. So then I was button-ups. I really liked those. And then I really like button-ups still, but Arizona, it's just not conducive to fashion. So
guys don't have a lot of options, because also when guys wear like sandals or tank tops, I'm often like, but why? Like, it's like never, it's too much. I don't want to see your super white shoulders or your super white, like upper thigh when guys wear shorts that are too short. And I'm like, everyone should wear what they want to wear. But I'm the one thing I will say is everyone should wear what they want to wear. Those are my preferences, except for that guys should never, ever, ever, ever wear flip-flops. Just don't do it. That's just what I have.
Oh my gosh. That's well, when I was in high school, that was all I would wear. But now I love shoes, but the flip-flops, I committed that fashion sin.
I'm like, also, unless you are at the beach, like on the beach, it's like your feet are on the sand, or you are currently in a public shower, then I will allow flip-flops on men's feet. Other than that, there's never a time. It's terrifying.
Is it just the feet, or is it just the way that it makes the other clothes look? Because I would wear flip-flops with jeans. And I saw pictures and I'm like, ugh, what was I doing? Stefan.
I just hate most men's feet. And also,
fair.
It's like they're just, it's like you're walking around with bare feet and like the ground is not clean. So like basically your feet are like this close to the ground and you're like, no, but I got shoes. And I'm like, no, your feet are just as dirty as the ground in those flip-flops. It's gross. And then you want to come in the house and we have a shoes off policy in our home because I'm Canadian. That's how Canada works. But like, even if you take off those shoes, the rest of your feet are dirty as fuck. Like you have to wash your feet and leave everything outside. That's just too much.
That's fair. Wearing flip-flops. Yeah. It's like playing chicken with bacteria on the ground. You're just so close.
And I'll tell you what, the bacteria is winning. So gross.
Well, Aisha, I want to get into the self-help, but before I do that, I wanted to ask you one more thing. I wanted to ask you about your show, the Shoutout Show, that you run with
Sophia Zalon and Winter Spears are the other two comedians that I co-host with. And I think you watched it today, right? It's Thursdays, every Thursday at 5 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. EST. We do an hour-long show of just giving props and shouting out and telling people about amazing people, places, and things that we love. Mm-hmm. And then we have a guest come on and give us a mantra, and that's it. It's just like an hour of positivity, fun, and giggles. It's the best. It's such a fun. And the Dynasty Typewriter is the venue here in LA that hosts it virtually and nice. Promotes it and produces it. And they're just, that's where I filmed my comedy special. Mm-hmm. They are a delightful crew of fun people. But yeah, it was born out of being in lockdown and feeling all this negativity and then needing space to just have joy and have positivity. And it just grew from there. And now is like this wonderful weekly show where we give away prizes. We interact with the audience. We have lots and lots of laughs, and it's just the best.
That's so cool. And I did attend my first one today, and I will be returning because I felt a little weight lifted. My stomach unclenched a little bit because I feel like,
oh, what a compliment.
I'm scrolling through social media. I'm seeing negative things, people fighting each other. And I'm just like, whatever happened to the positivity, the milkman, the paper boy? And then you guys showed up, and this show is just compliments and shout outs and all positivity. And I loved it. I loved it. And your guest this week was hilarious.
So Alexa Dirks, who's the lead singer of Begonia, is honestly one of my all-time favorite performers of any kind. Like, not just singers, but performers of all time. Like, she's an unbelievable talent. She's so funny and lovable. And like her mantra, feel all your feelings and also not all thoughts are facts, is so useful. But like, I also know her, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I literally, afterwards, Sophia and I were texting back and forth, and she's like, oh my God, I love her so much. And I was like, I know. I wrote her a really long love letter text like a month ago out of nowhere. And then I sent it and I was like, what am I actually doing with my life? Why am I doing this? Cause like, this could be seen as literally a stalker. And she was just like, she totally dug it. She was like, thank you. That means so much. I appreciate it. And I was like, who am I? I'm literally the person that should be like, have a restraining order on them. But when I love things, I've decided this is part of my life. When I love things or I love people, it's important for me to share that and to tell that. That's sort of part of where this show was born from. But it kind of gets creepy because sometimes I don't know what the line is. And I'm like, I love you and you're the best and everything about you is great. And people are like, Like I wrote a love letter. I mean, I call them love letters, but it's like just like appreciation, love for somebody.
Sure. Yeah.
To a comedian in Toronto recently on Instagram. And it was just about how like, I've always thought she was amazing. And she never wrote back. And I was like, there's the line. There it is. There's certain people who don't want this. And that's totally fine. But it's, yeah, I'm like obsessed with Begonia.
And it's really funny too, because I have started to do that in quarantine where I'm like, you know what, whatever positivity I have, I'm going to try and share it with others, especially if I think that they are doing something nice and positive yes. in the world. And yes. so I've started to do that. If I see a comedian I like, if I watch a show and I see somebody's doing something really good, I will reach out to them and I'm like, am I insane here? But well, you know what?
I think more people should do it though. Like for me, it's like a weirdly important thing. Being a nice person to me is godliness. I think it's so important to be a nice human being to everybody. And I think my parents really instilled that. Like they both kind of came from nothing. Mm-hmm. And they both worked really hard. And, you know, from my special, you've heard it. They both have their PhDs. They are now like really well known in their fields, like internationally yeah. kind of infamous for the work that they do. And they treat everybody exactly the same. Like in their respective places of work, they knew all the janitors' names. They knew their kids' names. They got them gifts for Christmas. They also treated the janitor just like they were the dean of engineering. Like it's just like everyone was the same. So I feel like, especially in this industry, I put so much weight on people being nice and kind and like open in this kind of loving way. And I want that to be a thing that I dive into and invest in. I used to run a show called Nice and Funny, and it was just for people who are comedians who I found to be nice and were also funny. I'm like, I only want nice people on this show. And that's how I want to spend my time doing this show. So I think that there's like so much value in, and it sounds so pedestrian, but there's value in being nice. And I don't think that that's honored enough. So I think it's great that that's something that you see and want to like cherish and let people know that you cherish.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. My heart is soaring right now hearing these words, because I feel I haven't always been this way my whole life. At the beginning of it, I was. When I moved to New York, I started to become a little more coarse when mm-hmm. I lived in Jersey, especially when trying to find parking. Demons came out of me. and I did embrace the mean a little bit. And I thought, what am I doing? I don't want to be like everybody else here and just be mean because that's the way it works. And so I try to be nice and, you know, still be polite. And if it comes down to being frank, that's fine. But, and I think there's a difference there between being frank and
it's important to be able to stand up for yourself and be angry, because yeah. angry is not, you know, and yeah. also sometimes being like, there's some funny mean stuff where you're like, so funny, and I'm all about that too. But yeah true. I think in general, true. Yeah, we want to have a cloud, an aura of niceness.
I like
that's what I'm aiming for.
Spreading positivity. Some might say that's very Canadian too, but it's, I feel like yeah.
It's just people.
Yeah, it's people, exactly. Well, this is awesome. I feel a little nicer now. I feel a little happier. And I'll have links to the show notes, or in the show notes, to your special that people awesome. Can stream. They can watch on YouTube for free, which is incredible.
Yeah. Free on All Things Comedy's channel on YouTube. Yeah.
That's awesome. And mm-hmm. And then also the show too, that'll be at the Dynasty Typewriter website as well.
All of us, I post it all the time on my social media and everywhere, but it's, if you go to dynastytypewriter.com/SOS for a shout out show, then all of our shows are on there. If you just, type in Dynasty Typewriter, you'll find the calendar. You'll see us, our beautiful shining faces in our big bubble of positivity every single Thursday at 5 p.m. PST.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say? Not that I'm going to cut you off if you want to say anything else
later. That's it. No,
but but is there anything you want to say before we get into the self-help portion?
No, I mean, the only other thing is that my album, because I have the special, which is the video, and the album, which is the audio, is also available for your listening pleasure to tickle the eardrums on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, et cetera, et cetera. And my people always tell people to thumb, if they're going on Pandora, to give it a thumbs up my album and to make an Aisha Alpha radio station so that you can listen to other people who are like my comedy, but that helps to get my name bumped up in and to get me played more often. So if you're doing that, go for it. And if you're not, that's totally fine too. You know what I mean? I'm not going to hate on you.
No, but you know what? You should do it. Be positive. Be nice. That's the whole message here, guys. So do it. I'll do it. I'll try and convince my wife once I've convinced her that I'm not cheating with a girl named
Aisha. Be like, this is the Aisha I was saying while I slept. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. It's been amazing having you on so far. We're going to get into the self-help portion. And before we answer some questions, I like to center myself with a juicy inspirational quote. So I've got one, but before I get into mine, I like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes that help get them through their dark days or mantras.
Well, this is how we end the show every single week. And so you saw it at the very end of the show. And this is a proverb that my dad often says. My dad was actually our first mantra guest, by the way, on the show.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Papa Alpha. We have the video of his mantras that he gave us, so I'm going to post those soon. But he always has a quote or a joke or a mantra or something like that, like a couple of them in his head that he can tell you. So this is this one comes from him, and he's told me it many times, and I really, really love it. If you keep a green branch in your heart, perhaps a singing bird will come. And so it's just a reminder to keep like some sort of life or freshness or love in your heart and openness, because that's what attracts joy and more joy.
Well, I do have to admit that I did hear that at the end of the show. And I was like, holy shit, this is beautiful. It's poetic. It was wonderful mantra. So I really like that.
We end every single show with that little proverb because we think it's so fitting for the show and the theme that we have.
Do you guys have merch? Do you have a t-shirt with that? Because I think that's really nice.
We don't have merch yet. I think that it's something we just talked about, like if we wanted to do like make an Instagram account specifically for the show, if we wanted to do any of that kind of stuff. And we were kind of like, well, we do probably eventually. But right now everyone's so busy with it's hard to commit to anything more, I think, than what's on people's plates.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can't take a shower some days, but can you get working on the merch?
I know, right? Yeah. But I think it's a good idea because I think, like, I mean, also, there's so many good random things that come from the show that I think we could make at very least stickers of all the random shout outs and all the random things some of our fans say in the comments, because there's some good engagement that happens sometimes.
Yes, there was. Oh, that's awesome. Well, good. That's an amazing mantra and quote. I like that. I feel a little bit ashamed to present mine now. It's actually not by a person. It's by a robot. And this robot's name is InspiRobot, with the sole purpose of taking AI that takes some of the most wisest words known to man and then just meshes them together for a beautiful inspirational quote.
I love it.
All right, we're going to get into it, maybe try and decipher it, because sometimes InspireBot needs a little bit of help. Doesn't speak to the masses. It speaks to, I don't know who it speaks to. But anyway, this week's quote comes from InspireBot. It says, "Going to the gym is fun for a while." Going to the gym is fun for a while. So, I mean, it might be inspiring in the sense of maybe you're thinking, oh, the gym, it's this monumental task. It's going to be daunting. If you haven't gone in a while and you're thinking there are going to be so many more jacked frat boys there, then
that's
you might be a little intimidated. So you're thinking it's not going to be fun. But then InspireBot's like, hey, it is for a while. So then you think, okay, I could just ride off of that joy for a little bit. Then I'll get in shape. And then I don't know if it's saying you'll feel miserable afterwards, but at least there will be that temporary joy. So,
can I just tell you that when I first, because you sent this to me in advance, and when I first read it, I read it, "Going to the gum is fun for a while." And I was like, this is so weird. And I love this quote. I'm getting it tattooed on my face. I do that often. I misread things and then I just go with it. And my husband's like, that's not at all what the thing said. But here's my take on the actual quote, "Going to the gym is fun for a while."
Yes.
Here's my quote, my take on the quote. I think that it's actually very deep. Okay. I think InspireBot is misunderstood by the masses, and they are really going deep with this one. I think it's a statement about how we're always trying to be better and get more and have like take. I've got to, you know, and that can be a fun pursuit for a while, but then you just got to sit with yourself and be like, hey, where I'm at is pretty good. Like, I just got to be where I'm at and be in my present body life moment. And that is where the real joy comes from.
Oh, shit.
Boom.
Oh, wow. That metaphorical dumbbell just dropped right on my brain.
Right? And I just like, there's a few synapses that just reconnected in everyone's brain from that description of the new this quote.
I heard Inspirobot that was like, finally, I'm understood.
And then Inspirobot's like, I actually meant to say going to the gum.
That was a typo, guys. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Well, I feel like you nailed that one. I'll collectively say we, since I was just present. So I guess I'll get a participation trophy. But I think we're full of inspiration now. So we're going to move on to some questions. This first one, it's from Reddit. It's found by our fan, Laura. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Aw. Girlfriend is uncomfortable with my extrovert nature. I have the natural tendency to be nice to everyone. Oh, we were just talking about that. Okay. I went out with my girlfriend to do some shopping, and I did it with the cashier today. Just straight up asked her, how's your day been so far? Looks busy. We chatted for less than a minute. Got to learn that she's going to school, wants to be a nurse, etc. Anyways, I get to the car and my girl looks so pissed. I can sense she's angry / jealous about it. So I just say, what's up, chicken butt? I feel like you're mad about something. She proceeds to tell me she doesn't like how I talk to other women around her. I was kind of like, WTF, but concede just to ease the mood. She's not even introverted or the jealous types. Thoughts? Is this normal? Ooh, what a roller coaster.
First of all, what does normal even really mean? You know what I mean? Like, why are we trying to be normal? There's no such thing. I was like, there were so many things in this one that I'll just go through them one by one.
Yeah, let's dig in. Let's go right in.
The first one was, okay, I think that probably it always depends on how you talk to somebody. Because I feel like this is a person who's like, I could have been like, hey, how's your day been going? And that is very different from, hi, how are you? How's your day been going? Because, and the thing on paper, those both look exactly the same, but the intonation and the, you know, it can be very different.
Yep.
So I would like to know more about that from the person. But also, when you get in the car and you think something's wrong, don't say what up, chicken butt, or whatever he said. Like, that's just stupid. What are you, four?
That was a very weird thing. I don't know where he's from, but that is a strange thing to say. What up, chicken butt? Because it's kind of it's not even funny. It's a little insulting. So,
and it wouldn't make me feel like sharing if you're like,
you want to get like deep with me, chicken butt?
So I feel like that was weird, but then it also kind of made me think, okay, like this sounds like they have other issues. If let's just give the benefit of the doubt. He went to the grocery store. I'm assuming, I don't know, this could have been a guy or a girl. They went to the grocery store with a girlfriend. They saw the cashier. They innocently said, how's your day? Wonderful. While holding hands with the girlfriend and showing, you know, that this is a thing. And then they go through this whole thing. They get into the car. They ask a stupid question. The person says they're upset. I think that shows there's something else going on. Maybe there's some sort of not trust happening, or the girlfriend doesn't like that cashier and has talked about how she killed her dog and, like, you know, stole her outfit and like all kinds of stuff. And this person's now engaging. I'd be like, whose side are you on? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm imagining this person as a bad, bad person. I'm just imagining him being like, babe, I forgot my wallet. Can you buy my jeans for me? And then going to the cashier.
Very specific. Can you buy my jeans? I thought it was going to be like my coffee.
Can you buy my floral print button-up shirt for me for our cruise, babe? And then going up to the girl at the cashier and be like, hey, how's it going? And then also, he said they talked for a minute, but he knows she's going to school. He knows her family and all these details. Yeah, I think that's a little more than a minute.
And it also sounds like he got the information that all men are trying to get out of strippers. Like, that's just what happens. Like, I have kids and going through school. Please give me a minute. But in the end, I also think that part of the problem is, then at the end, this person says,
yes,
my girlfriend was upset, so I just pretended like, yeah, I won't, like, kind of like appeased the girlfriend, which I'm like, here's the thing. I think that maybe because I'm very direct most of the time and I'm not afraid of conflict most of the time, I'm like, if there's an issue, just put it on the table. You know what I mean? And like, let's be honest about it and let's talk through it and try and figure out how we either resolve it or move from it or move on from it. So if you just go, well, I just like kind of shushed her up, it just feels like it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It makes me so angry because it feels like a, like this person is not listening to the girlfriend and not hearing the girlfriend, whether they're rational or irrational fears about not talking to other women around her. But it just made me not like the writer of this question.
See, I told you. I mean, definitely. I totally agree with that. And I was just talking about that with some friends the other day where I was saying, my wife is one of the most blunt people I've ever met.
I love it.
I absolutely love it because I know where she stands. I know what she's feeling. And I know what either what I need to do or I know we're in a good place. I know. Right. So.
And it's hard for women to do that because society's like, don't do it. And so I always feel like I'm some sort of huge, horrible monster when I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. And people are like, oh, she said something that she really means. Oh my God, stop the press. And you're like, what?
It's so frustrating to me too, because my wife, sometimes she'll tell me, or we're talking with family and talking with her in-laws, my brothers and sisters. And she's like, listen, I know that sometimes I can be perceived as a bitch, but I'm being open and honest, and it just tears me apart because I'm like, you're just saying how you feel.
I need to meet your wife now. I literally have said to my husband, I'm not a bitch. I'm just direct and honest. And he quotes me all the time joking about it, but I'm like, no, this is literally part of my mantra of life is I am not a bitch. I am just direct and honest. And I think that it's really hard for women to do that. So when they do that, then you should listen and acknowledge that.
Oh, for sure. I think put a ring on it immediately. And she'll let you know yes or no right then and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right, yeah. She's but, not going to pussyfoot around it. She's going to be like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Exactly. And it's funny because I'm growing, but I had issues with that because my family, how I grew up, it was very, a lot of sugar-coated conversations.
Yeah.
And so I love this because this is totally different where sometimes we would leave things festering for weeks, months, maybe years, I don't know. Yeah. And it's just getting it out all on the table and talking about it, especially, I know there's a sugarcoating and things like that, but then there's also placating and just saying, okay, I'm going to leave it alone. Yeah, I feel like it's even worse because you're not addressing the issue. And then next time you're thinking that you're right, she's thinking that she's right. You guys don't know each other's sides and you're not going to get past it.
And it just feels like an insult. Like, if you don't agree with me, then just say that. But don't be like, yeah. And then be like, this one, she doesn't even know what she's like. I hate that so much. Just like, yes. It's the bane of my existence when people do that. When people like say yes to someone's face and then backtalk them like behind their back, I'm like, I don't trust that person at all. I'm like, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you in my circle because I can't trust you. And I have so many like, those are building blocks, you know, the trust blocks that create friendships and closeness. And if you don't have them, get out.
You're just a great person. I'll just pause and say that. I wish more people were like you because it's...
Stop, go on.
So anyway, going back to this person, I feel like the ultimate advice here is talk it out.
Be real. And like, be honest about what you have done because nothing comes just from one side. Like, you're not dating a psychopath. Let's be real, right? Like, yeah. No, most like what 1% of the population is a psychopath. So you're probably not dating one.
Right. Right.
And so you're involved in whatever's going on as well. It's not one-sided. You're doing something that's upsetting the other person. And if you respect and love that person, then the fact that you are hurting them should make you want to change or at least talk about it.
Yes. And there might be some sort of cues that you don't even know that you're doing that might be giving off vibes, even though you're not intentionally being bubbly to the or flirting
like
with the person.
Maybe you accidentally have your dick out. You know what I mean? Like, just, you don't know. And maybe she says, baby, put your dick away when you're talking to the cashier. Everything's fine. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know that was out.
Oh my gosh. I thought there was a breeze in here.
Right? Sometimes it can be so simple.
That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe that's why they were buying the pants, just to cover up that dick.
I still love the specificity and just like obscureness of that example. Buy my jeans? Oh, I want someone to write a song called Baby, Can You Buy My Jeans? That's what I want in
Baby,
life.
Baby, can you buy my jeans?
Oh, goodness. I would buy that, the remix of it. I would like play it all the time. Just amazing.
You know what? We'll collaborate. We'll get this out.
We'll get Begonia in it. Well, it's going to be a hit if she has anything to do with it.
Oh, man. I love this. All right. That's amazing. We're going to move on to the next question because I feel like we nailed that one.
Totally.
This last question is from... Bam. This question... Sorry, I didn't mean to do it so violently.
This whole movement of people like, high fives are violent. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, man, good job. I'm not like hitting you, punching you in the face or something. Yeah.
I was so excited to do it that I just smashed and I was like, oh, man.
Okay, let's do it at the same time. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
That's not the high five sound.
Like, sorry, someone popped a bottle in the other room. That's what I was doing the folly for that room as well.
My wife just popped some champagne there. So. All right. All right. This next question is from our fan, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. He says, going to the beach for the first time, full grown adult. So my girlfriend and friend all decided to take a trip to a nearby beach. It's all good and stuff, but like, I'm freaking out. What's the process of actually going to the beach? Do I go in my shorts and shirt and get in the water like that and then walk around all wet? Do I go in full swimwear and just chill by the sand? Do I go in, get wet, and then change in the public's eye? Thanks in advance. Sincerely, short story.
This is my favorite question that anyone has ever asked anybody in the history of humans asking questions. Honestly, it is by far the best. I don't know if this is going to be horrible, but I was watching a Netflix show called Dating on the Spectrum. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a reality show of people who are on the Asperger's autism spectrum.
Yes.
And it's one of the most lovely things I've ever seen. I used to work with kids who were on the spectrum, and it was like my heart grew 10 sizes every time I worked with them because they were just so honest. And like watching this and seeing the awkwardness and the honesty of being awkward or of feeling sadness or whatever. And this question to me felt like a direct quote that could have come from one of the people on this show, because it's so honest about like just not knowing and like the small little things. Like, I don't know the social cues for what do I do? Do I go in all of my clothes in and then walk around? Like, it's just so beautifully honest. And such minute details that are important that they need to figure out, that I was like, oh, this is my favorite question I've ever heard in my life.
That is so funny because I come from a family of 5 children, and my younger brother, the second, he has Asperger's, and I don't know why I stumbled across that word. Asperger's. But he has Asperger's, and my youngest... Sounds like my kid. My youngest sister, she has, maybe I have, but no, she has autism. So I definitely, it reminded me of my brother when I was reading the question too.
Yes.
Because it's just like practically what goes on instead of just going with the flow. It's like, okay, logistically speaking, what's the clothing situation here?
I love it because we all have these thoughts. We're like, oh God, like, do I bring this? Do I not bring it? Like, we have those thoughts that are so weird, and we don't have the gall to ask because we're like, I'll just follow the lead of everybody else. I'll just figure it out. But people who are like, I don't know, someone tell me what's normal. Like, what's the thing we all do here? But I love that it's like full grown adult first time to the beach. And I was like, okay, I want to know where this person lives, because if it's the first time they've ever gone to the beach and they live by a beach, I was like, how did that happen? Like, what is your life that you never go?
Yeah. That's true.
You know,
the type of guy that gets his pants paid for by his girlfriend, maybe. He just can't afford the beach. So
this will always be such a good, weird reference. I love it. You're going to say that to somebody and then laugh to myself and be like, oh man. But also then the specific questions of like, do I wear my shorts and shirt and go into the water like that and then just spend the day wet? I was like, no!
I'm just...
Have you never watched a show with anyone going to the beach? It's it's so perfect and so weird to think that you walk into the water.
I just imagined him seeing people walking across the street or walking on the street soaking wet in street clothes, and they're like, oh, that guy just went to the beach. That
like
just...
jeans, like a parka. Maybe it's a bit chilly that day, but they had a quick dip. Like, it's so funny because I guess it's like an alien came down and is like, how do you do beach? And that's like what they're asking.
Yes.
But then also then it was like, okay, so that's clearly the wrong answer, right? Like, that's not what people do at the beach, you just go in their street clothes. Well, maybe some people do. I shouldn't say that. That's not what my friends and I do.
Fair.
But then the next question is, the other option is also so wrong. Or do I go in my bathing suit and just hang out on the sand? Like, once you're in the bathing suit, that's when you can go in the water. Like, that's the whole point of putting the bathing suit on. And now you've restricted yourself to have the bathing suit on. Now I'm picturing a guy who's in a Speedo, of course. And then that person is just sitting on the sand, not going into the water. And like, no, you have to combine these two things into, when you have the bathing suit, that's when you do the bathing. When you have the street clothes, that's when, like, it's just so perfect. It could not be a better question. Like, when I read this, I was like, I can't wait for tonight because I cannot wait to talk about this. I need to meet this person. I need to meet this person. I've already hired a private investigator. I'm already doing it. I'm getting it.
Yes. Kyle, please tell us where you got this question. Did you write this question? If so, please present yourself. We want to meet you.
Oh my gosh. For real. So what would be your advice? Like, what do you do when you go to the beach?
I've been beaching wrong my whole life, I feel. Because, I mean, I would bring my swim
trunks.
Actually,
your question, is that what happened?
Yeah, this was me. This was me. I feel like before I met my wife, I would go, I'd bring a little backpack, and then I'd bring my swim trunks. And so I would get the shit burned out of myself every time. I never learned. I just get so burned. I was a lifeguard, too.
And you never wore sunscreen?
I eventually put it on.
White people, you never learn. You never learn.
We don't. And then I you know what I ended up doing was should I say this out loud? We had sunscreen from like the Lost and Found. And so I would just pour that on. And
you're just hoping it was actually sunscreen and not someone playing a horrible joke of mayonnaise in a sunscreen container. You're like, why am I still burning? But I taste delicious.
Does anyone have any mustard to even this out? Can I want to get a bronze here. Anyone got any spicy brown? But yeah, so I would just go to the beach, backpack, sunglasses and swim trunks. And then, you know, he does present a kind of good point, I guess, because the way I did it is I got my swim trunks and then I would go in the water. I loved my swimming. And then I would go back. And then if we had to go somewhere else, I would still be sopping wet because then I didn't bring a towel.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell this person and everyone in the world how to beach. Okay.
Please.
This is how you do beach. You go and you wear your bathing suit underneath your street clothes. Okay. That's the number one thing. You put the bathing suit on, then the street clothes over. So when you get to the beach where you've brought a towel, or for me, I bring a sarong because then you can lay on it and use it to towel yourself off. Very multifunctional. And you throw it around yourself. You can go grab a Coke and come back.
What is it called?
A sarong. You don't know what a sarong is?
No.
Oh my goodness. I thought I was just going to have to tell you how to beach, but now I have to tell you how to live life. Okay. A sarong is a big piece of material, light material. You'll see them at like when women are at the beach or at the pool that they can like, you can wrap it around like it's a towel around your waist or your body. You can like sort of do it around like it's a dress.
Oh,
you
know what I'm talking about? Yes.
Fancy colors and stuff.
I have seen them. My wife has those. I just never knew.
I'm sure your wife does. God. It's called a sarong.
She's made me wear them on occasion. So that's interesting. Okay. I love the word, by the way, sarong. It should be called a sarite, but.
Well, I was just going to. Oh, my. I was the same. I get it. so you wear your bathing suit underneath your street clothes. You go there, you have some sort of towel or sarong or something with you.
Okay.
You bring your sunscreen, you bring a hat, you bring some shades, you bring a bottle of water, at least one. You bring a little snacks because you know you're going to want some, and a little bit of reading material like your Kindle or a book or a magazine, whatever, or like a crossword or something fun to pass the time with, right?
That is definitely how to beach.
Then you go into the water and you come back out. And then this is the best part of his question, though. He's like, and then what do I do after? I have to change in the public's eye. Very dramatic description of how you're changing. Because I imagine that everyone's doing their thing. And then when he goes to change, everyone stops what they're doing. All the sounds of the beach stop. And then dramatic music plays and everyone watches him change. There are also changing stations at most beaches. Why are you changing in the middle of everyone?
You know what you could do? You could also get that portable, what is it, those like Japanese curtains where...
Oh, like the accordion thing you pull out?
Yes, those. And you could just...
A screen.
Create a perimeter around your towel and then...
Or if you have a sarong, you tie the sarong around you and you wiggle out of your stuff. Public's eye sees nothing, my friend.
I have been terrified to do that before because when I was on swim team, I've been so adept to water, but I don't know how to beach. And
yeah,
so I
can't believe you.
We'd do the wiggle too, but I was so afraid that the towel would fall off because I don't know even how to snugly tie a towel without it coming off if I waddle.
Well, you can hold on to the towel. I don't know. Do you need... I feel like you're like a person who pulls their pants all the way to the bottom to like go pee. Like you don't need both hands. You can use one hand and you know.
I'm holding both hands on the towel and I'm jumping to try and get the swim trunks off.
Like these things are on tight. Wow. You know.
I should spare you in the audience of this image, but my wife, being from Brazil, thinks it's customary for men to wear Speedos. So,
you know, the more I learn about your wife, the more I love her. I need to meet her. It's now I'm going to get my private investigator to look up the person who wrote this question and also to find your wife so we can be best.
and so we couldn't even find Speedos at stores. So we went and sought out Speedos, and that was fun asking people for, do you guys have Speedos? And they're like, for you? I don't know if you've got quite the body for that. But anyway, they'd be like, no, we don't have it. We've never sold Speedos since the 1980s.
Swimming store. Here's how I know this. So this past holiday season, my family went on a trip to, like, my brother, his kids, my parents, my husband, and my kid. Mm-hmm. We all went on, instead of going to Winnipeg for the holidays, we went to Florida. And my nieces went to Disneyland and Universal Studios, and we had like got a house for the week and whatever. My parents golfed and stuff, but there was a pool. And so we were always laughing at when we were kids, my dad can't swim, but he would take us to the pool and stand in the water, like up to his ankles at the very, very shallow end, but like stand in a Speedo, but only the water up to his ankles. And we were like, why do you need a Speedo for this? Like, why can't you just wear all of your clothes literally and roll up your pants? So as I was like, oh my gosh, we need to find a Speedo for dad to my brother when we go on this trip. And then we decided it made the most sense for us to have Speedos for all the men in the family. And that my little babe was also going to have a Speedo. So we had a Speedo for my kid, little blue Speedo. And we got matching Speedos for like my dad, my brother, and my husband. And we have a photo of all of the men in my family standing by the pool in these Speedos.
Oh, that is amazing.
Yeah. So now I know where to get a Speedo in Winnipeg. If you're ever there, you need one, just let me know.
Okay. Yeah. My wife will reach out to you because yeah. We ended up buying, we went to Amazon and we found a seller from Japan that had Speedos and brought them over. I think we had to get double XL because
oh yeah,
I guess the bodies in Japan are a little smaller than this corn
fed
boy.
You're a Hulk in Japan.
Yeah, I'm of hearty stock, I guess. So
but you're not even big. It's like when I lived in Korea, they'd look at me like, oh no, we don't have XXXL. And I was like, I'm like a size 4. What are you talking about? But
yeah, it was the same with me. So we got triple XL or whatever, and then it was still running a little tight, so that was an embarrassing period of my life. I think I still have them. I'm going to stop talking about it. So that's not a way to beach, but a way to beach, like you said, a sarong, snacks, something to read. You can bring your street clothes on top, layers. Mm-hmm. It's like a human sandwich almost, kind of. but yeah, I think that's the correct way to beach. And I feel, yeah, I don't know if I have any other advice because that was solid.
I mean, I could write a book called Doing Beach, and it would be a bestseller wherever this guy is. I think I'm gonna do it. It's gonna be like 3 pages long. That's it. And one of those pages is a dedication page to you. Okay, that's what's happening.
Yes. And then the thing, it's a pop out book, but it actually pops out into a sarong that you can wear.
Yes. Oh my
beach.
Gosh. Maybe I just print the book on a sarong so all the steps are on the sarong so you will never forget. So while you're at the beach, you can be like, right, now what's next here? Okay. Got it. Perfect.
Genius.
I think we're onto something here.
We've created a song. we have created a sarong and
a great quote about paying for your pants.
Yes.
Specifically your jeans.
Yes. Also quotes about gum. I think that was really inspiring. That was great. Well, we have sadly reached the end of our podcast. So thank you to all of the listeners who have listened and have tuned in. And thank you, Aisha, for being my glorious guest here. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Honestly, this is just a delight. And it's very hard for me to dedicate time to give to other people right now. And this was, when I read what this was about, when you first messaged me, I was like, I love it.
Aww.
And then this has just been an absolute delight. So thank you so much for having me on. It has been a splendid time.
Oh, yes. We're now we're both pleased as punch. It's just a whole bowl of pleased punch. But I was going to ask, where can our listeners find you? Where can they find your special? Where I know you said it once, but sometimes listeners have to hear it twice.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Where can they find your show? Everything you've got going on.
So I have all of my social media and my website is all the same. It's just my name, Aisha Alpha. So AISHAALFA. And you can go to my website to find shows I'm doing on Zoom. And then when the world stops falling apart, shows that are live, my album's on there. All of my social media connects are on there. Videos, all kinds of stuff is on my website. You can also go to my Instagram or my Twitter. And that's as well, just Aisha Alpha. My comedy album, All the Parts, is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Pandora. Don't forget to give it a thumbs up on Pandora and create a radio station based on me. And my comedy special, All the Parts, is available on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel for free right now.
Nice.
And if you're like needing some joy in your life, which all of us can use, every Thursday at 5 p.m. PST, I co-host a wonderful, joyful show called The Shoutout Show, where we just spew positivity and rainbows from our eyeballs and all our face holes. So tune in. It's a free show to tune into. And you can go to the Dynasty Typewriter website for all the info on that. But I also have all that info on my social media and on my website.
And then it's also going to be in the show notes, every single thing that she listed. So if you guys are like, oh, I can't spell Aisha or Alpha. I don't know why my audience sounds like that, but it's going to be in the show notes. Calm down. Holding your hand here through the ears. It's going to be
and
there.
And if you want our sarong book that we were talking about called Doing Beach, that will be out in 2022 once we have all the manufacturing back again.
It's going to be so wrong. It feels right.
Oh yeah.
So awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Aisha. And thank you, everybody. We will talk at you next week. Pew, pew, pew. Bye-bye.